Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
8:16, beautiful day today. Plenty of sunshine. Eventually it'll, I guess you can say, warm up to 75, but blue skies and a lot of sunshine, comfortable. Tomorrow highs of 73, clouds move in, as does a chance for showers. And that increases to 40% on Friday, 90% on Saturday, with some strong storms possible. Sunday looking good, 66, partly cloudy. But then 72, the day of the college football championship game, LSU and Clemson in the Dome, 60% chance for showers and breezy. So maybe dodge some showers, but not a washout like they're saying for Saturday. A lot of news coming out of Iran. The latest this morning, in case you did not hear, a Ukrainian aircraft, commercial jet taking off from Tehran, crashed and killed all 162 people on board. And there are a lot of different angles to this. It was a Boeing 737, not a Boeing 737 Air Max that they've had so much trouble with, but a Boeing 737-800, with which they've also had trouble. There's no indication, I don't think, at this point, that there was any terrorism. Jim Carafano joins us, Vice President of the Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good to be with you.
As it stands now, is the world kind of looking at this, or the intelligence community, as just an unfortunate accident?
I think it's just way too soon to tell. Okay. I think from the publicly available information, I just really don't feel comfortable about, you know, I mean, anybody could give you half a dozen possible scenarios.
Right.
I think we just need to, wait a bit. I think more information will come out.
We'll get to the scenarios with Iran and the United States in a minute. The attack last night, some are saying that the Iranians bombing for the sending ballistic missiles into two American air bases in Iraq. No U.S. casualties reported or coalition casualties reported. I would think, Jim, on a military base, they'd be able to account for people pretty quickly. Was this an attempt by Iran to send a message, but they really did not want to hurt anybody?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think this is a safe phasing fireworks display, right? It didn't really cross any.
Wait, well, let me say that again. That's interesting. A face saving fireworks display.
I mean, they killed a bunch of dirt and,
right.
or sand, and you had to think that they were actually trying to avoid U.S. casualties. And if you listen to the statements they made afterwards, like, hey, we're done. If you don't fire an Iranian territory, we're not going to fire back. It was almost like they were just, you know, pleading, say, hey, let us just have this one and move on. You know, the domestic reporting was obviously exacerbated, claiming that they killed dozens of American you know, soldiers. So it really did seem like a face-saving advice. But on the other hand, it was provocative. They've never done this before, actually attack Americans from Iranian soil directly. That's unprecedented. But the flip side of that is this just worsens their position. I mean, every country in the region just looks at this and said, this is incredibly reckless. We're even more determined now to keep the United States in the region to help push back against Iran. Makes it very difficult for the Iranians, Europeans, to really do anything with the Iranians. So, you know, it really does leave them worse off than when they started.
And when it comes to the nuclear deal, as I understand it, Iran has completely pulled out and canceled it, I guess, with everybody. And if that's the case, and if I have that right, it would seem as though it would be even easier for the United States to build a coalition.
I think that's true. And look, it shows that the nuclear deal really wasn't restraining them at all, that essentially they could pick up right where they left off whenever they wanted to. And if anything, it just validated the U.S. pulling out, essentially giving Iran a bunch of stuff and getting nothing. The Iran deal was a nothing burger, and essentially the Iranians just proved that.
All right, we're going to take a break, pick it up here when we come back. I want to talk about something a Russian politician said about nuclear war. And I know that's just puffery, but in terms of the theory behind it, I don't know if that was like an iron fist in a velvet glove kind of thing, saying that Russia is going to get involved because I don't know who else in the region would be an ally of Iran that has nuclear capabilities. Jim Carafano is our guest, Vice President of the Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation. The president is expected to speak to the country at some time today. And whenever that happens, we'll stop whatever we're doing and air it for you live here on WWL. So you'll be able to hear it. We're hearing now that it'll be at 10 a.m. with the president. That's not always a hard start time, but we will carry it for you live here whenever it happens on WWL. They're saying now should be around 10 o'clock. 821 traffic on WWL. 825, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking with Jim Carafano, Vice President of the Institute for National Security and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation, about the situation with Iran last night. They launched some ballistic missiles into some U.S. air bases in Iraq, but as Jim just said, killed a lot of sand. Jim, a Russian politician, and I have no idea how high up in the oligarchy he is, but he said that if continued tit-for-tat operations with Iran poses the danger of nuclear war. And while I know it's puffery, I just wonder, theoretically, who would Iran have as a nuclear ally in that area other than Russia? And if that's the case, was this politician? Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, nobody. I mean, first of all, Iran and Russia's not going to come to the aid of Iran. They're not. Neither is China. I mean, these are, you know, countries of a kind. They all have in common that they don't like the United States. They'd love to work together, but their capabilities and limitations don't really match up well with each other. They have very little to offer each other, and they're not going to stick their neck out for the other guy. So it's literally just talk. I mean, Russia has no real power in the Middle East. It's just a joke to suggest otherwise. They're in Syria. They've always been in Syria. And that's kind of the extent and the end of their influence. I mean, so I don't think there's anything to that at all.
I don't think it could happen, I guess what I'm saying. First of all, yeah. I don't think there's any way President Trump would use nuclear weapons, is there?
Trump's not going to start a war, and the Iranians aren't going to start a war. And both sides know this, which is why this, you know, we can't have a war talk is just silly, because there's just not going to be a war.
So what happens now? The Iranians kind of stood up to their people and, you know, hey, we fired some missiles and lied about how many people you were hurt and so forth, if any, in fact, were. Is that it now? Does Iran and the fact that they pulled out of the nuclear deal with everybody, does that make it easier now for the United States to put together a coalition to deal with Iran? Do they start behaving themselves? Sanctions continue as they are? Do we have more sanctions we can put on them? Jump in where you feel comfortable.
Can you call me an hour and a half?
Absolutely.
And no, look, I mean, I think the president essentially is going to reaffirm a strategy that we're on, not really expecting a U.S. military retaliation. I think that they've been signaling that all night. And I think the strategy is effective. It doesn't leave Iran many options. I suppose eventually they're going to have to come to the table to talk. Will they do that now? I don't think the timing is right for that right now. But you know, they're running out of tricks to try, what must be terribly frustrating for them is every time they do something to embarrass or to intimidate Trump, it blows up in their face. He counters them, and he looks more popular and more powerful.
So what do they do now? They let this go as their, quote, victory. It's like, okay, you know, we sent the missiles over and the United States didn't respond. Yay for us.
They should go into the mosque and pray to their God that the president loses the next election. Because other than that, I don't know what other option they have. They have very few other realistic options.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate your time. Jim Carafano, Vice President of the Institute for National Security, pardon me, and Foreign Policy at the Heritage Foundation. Okay, what effect is all of this going to have on the market and our 401ks? Well, we're going to find out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.